Let's read together Jonah chapter 2. In this chapter, we have the prayer of Jonah from the stomach of the great fish. Jonah chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. And he answered me, out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Once again, some background notes. You know, I've prayed to the Lord in many different situations and from many different places, but never from the belly of a fish. But I can tell you one thing for sure. If I was ever inside a fish and still alive, I would pray. And so would you. And I would pray right away. In fact, I would have been praying as soon as I hit the water, or even before. Did Jonah pray right away? Now, we don't know for sure, but it looks like there may have been some time before Jonah prayed. Look at the end of chapter 1. Now, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, verse 1 of chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. We'll say something more about the possible delay in Jonah's prayer in a few minutes. But right now, what about the 3 days and the three nights? Was Jonah in the fish for 3 days and three nights? That is, for 72 hours, three 24-hour periods? Not necessarily. 3 days and three nights is a Hebrew expression or Hebrew idiom, and the phrase day and night can refer to any part of a day or a night. This is the same expression that our Lord used of his time in the grave between death and resurrection. In Matthew 12:40, the Lord said, For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So if the Lord was crucified on Friday afternoon and was resurrected early Sunday morning, there's no way you can get 72 hours. But no problem. 3 days and three nights is a well-known Hebrew idiom, and any part of a day or night is included in the phrase 3 days and three nights. Now, if you are not aware of this Hebrew way of referring to time, and you try pushing the crucifixion back to Thursday or even Wednesday, as some do, to get a full 72 hours, you have problems with other scriptures. Turn to Luke chapter 24. This chapter covers events after the resurrection. Verse 46, our Lord himself refers to his resurrection on the third day. Verse 46, then he said to them, Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. So if Sunday is the third day, there's only one option for the first day, namely Friday. Perhaps that's about the same amount of time Jonah spent in the belly of the fish. In any case, after the 3 days and the three nights, we read in verse 10, Jonah chapter 2, verse 10, So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry ground. You can't keep a good man down. So much for our background. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal point number one. God uses discipline to turn the believer away from disobedience. God uses discipline to turn the believer away from disobedience. It looks like Jonah doesn't pray until he's inside the fish. Why the delay? Because Jonah was running away from the Lord. He didn't want to go to Nineveh, the capital city of Assyria. The Assyrians were enemies of Israel. Jonah did not want the grace of God extended to Nineveh. Jonah would rather die than change. And when Jonah was thrown overboard, and when Jonah was struggling in the water, he still had not changed. He was still a disobedient prophet with a bad attitude. But God uses discipline to turn the believer away from disobedience. You know, when the story of Jonah was read to our 4-year-old granddaughter, Callie, her mother asked her why Jonah was inside the fish. Callie said that God was giving Jonah a timeout. Yes, God was giving Jonah a timeout. He was under discipline. Now we see from Jonah's prayer, which comes after he repents, that Jonah knew he was undergoing God's discipline. Look at verse 3. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Listen, when God uses circumstances to discipline the believer, that believer knows it's not just random circumstances. A believer under discipline knows it's the hand of God. Remember when Joseph's brothers were imprisoned in Egypt? They knew right away that God was dealing with them for what they had done to Joseph years before. I'm reading Genesis 42, verse 21. Then they said to one another, "We are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear. Therefore, this distress has come upon us." As Jonah looks back in his prayer and recounts his experiences, it's really hard to tell precisely what takes place inside the fish and what takes place outside the fish in the sea. For example, is the seaweed wrapped around Jonah's head in verse 5 before he's swallowed by the fish or in the stomach of the fish? And going down to the bottom of the sea in verse 6, is that inside the fish or is it outside the fish? Well, we can't say for sure. But in any case, Jonah knows he's being disciplined by the Lord. And he finally prays. Verses 1 and 2 again. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said, "I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. And he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried. And you heard my voice." And verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. The phrase, out of the belly of Sheol, in verse 2. Could be paraphrased out of the depths or from death's door. Sheol is used many times in the Old Testament for the grave, but its use here should not be pressed as a proof text that Jonah literally died. Jonah came close to death, but God's discipline worked repentance in Jonah's heart, verse 4, and then God moved the fish to throw Jonah up on the dry land, verse 10. Notice how repentance is not just being sorry for your sins, but a change in direction, away from disobedience and back toward the Lord. Verse 8, those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. Jonah acknowledged that looking away from the Lord in any other direction was really forsaking the Lord's mercy and was nothing less than idolatrous disobedience. Now in verse 9, we see not only a repentant Jonah, but a worshiping Jonah. Verse 9, "But I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." Jonah has been restored to fellowship with the Lord. He's turned away from disobedience, and he's now worshiping the Lord. God uses discipline to turn the believer away from disobedience. And doctrinal point number 2, God uses discipline to turn the believer back to Scripture. God uses discipline to turn the believer back to Scripture. Did you realize that most of Jonah's prayer here in Jonah chapter 2 is a series of Scripture quotations, mostly from the Psalms? Isn't that interesting? God, in his discipline of Jonah, is turning Jonah away from disobedience, back to Scripture. Jonah's prayer is not a plea for deliverance, but rather a psalm of praise and thanksgiving. It's a doxology quoting scripture. Isn't God's discipline marvelous? It doesn't result in bitterness. It's not an end in itself. It results in the fruit of righteousness. In this case, quoting scripture. Hebrews 12, verse 11 says, "Now no discipline seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Listen, quoting scripture from the belly of a fish is certainly the fruit of righteousness. God uses discipline to turn the believer back to scripture. Now, another point to notice about the scriptures that Jonah quoted here is a number of them come from the Messianic Psalms. For example, the end of verse 3 is a quote from Psalm 42. "All your billows and your waves passed over me." The beginning of verse 5 is from the well-known Messianic Psalm, Psalm 69. Beginning of verse 5, "The water surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me." The end of verse 6 is very close to Psalm 30, verse 3, as well as Psalm 16, verse 10, another well-known Messianic Psalm. The end of verse 6, "Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God." And there are others. These quotes from the Messianic Psalms would certainly emphasize the fact that Jonah is a type or picture of Christ, as our Lord said in Matthew chapter 12. Now let me ask you this morning, have you had the experience of turning towards Scripture under the Lord's hand of discipline? This is a true and biblical response to God's discipline. David said in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." How does God search the heart? Primarily with His Word. God uses discipline to turn the believer back to Scripture. What about practical application? Would you be able to quote Scripture from inside a fish? Would you be able to quote Scripture from inside a fish? You know, it's amazing how much Scripture Jonah knew by heart. Remember, Jonah was not in the belly of the fish reading the Old Testament by candlelight or something like that. Right? You talk about slimy darkness. Can you imagine the experience? Unbelievable. But Jonah knew his Bible, and the Holy Spirit was able to bring Scripture to Jonah's mind and use this as a means of restoring Jonah. Suppose you were in Jonah's condition. Would the Lord be able to bring Scriptures to your mind to restore you? Not if you don't know them. We really tie the Lord's hands without knowing Scripture. Let me ask you, do you have a regular time each day when you read the Bible? Do you have a Scripture memory program? Listen, the Holy Spirit cannot help you remember Scripture if you don't know Scripture. Would you be able to quote Scripture from inside a fish?